Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. We've been studying the book of Galatians. You all know the background. In the early church, there were Jewish evangelists that were going around to Gentile churches, and they were telling them, get under the law. If you're going to follow the Jewish Messiah, get under the law of Moses. For that's the Jewish Messiah, and Jews live by the law of Moses. And Paul knew that Jesus inaugurated the new covenant that canceled the law of Moses. It's gone. What he spent in the first two chapters was showing how the new covenant and the gospel of the grace in Jesus Christ is of divine origin. Don't mess with it, for if you play with the gospel, Paul says this, if I or any other person preach a gospel other than what is centered in the gospel of the new covenant of Jesus Christ, let him be damned. There's an essential of any church. You do not mess with the grace of the new covenant and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, what do preachers do today? I was shocked. You'll forgive me, but I'm going to mention this. I already did in class this week to a bunch of preachers. You know, I get myself into trouble. I was in trouble Tuesday, getting myself into trouble somewhere else. And only Sandy with her head like, oh my, aching back. Speaking in front of a bunch of pastors all week. You know, preachers are dangerous. They sit there and tell you how to live and how you should believe. And they themselves don't follow what they preach or practice. 30 years ago, I was at a place where that was the kind of preacher. Tell you how to live, what you should do. Don't you do this, don't you do that, don't you dare. So I turn on the TV, click, click. And I'm going to hit him. And I'm going to tell you stories of why you got to be people of the Word and forget these damnable preachers. And that includes me. If I say something, you research the Word. You're free to object. And I get, there is Trinity Broadcasting Network. Click, click. As a matter of fact, this week, I went by that building. You want a palace? White? Gold chairs? Money spared no expense. Would Jesus wear a Rolex watch? Well, Trinity would, until you got his blessing you for it. And who did I see on that show but someone that I knew 30-some years ago who told you, don't you dare watch that kind of a television station. And there he was raising money for them, David Jeremiah of Shadow Mountain Community Church. I remember the day when I was working there and I had to clean out an office and my shirt tail hung out like this. I'm still angry, so I'll be honest with you. I'm going to confess my sin to you. My shirt tail hung out like that because I had been taking boxes, cleaning an office, trying to get it ready because they threw me into an academic situation, no preparation whatsoever. He saw my shirt tail out passing me and they had a whole meeting about the fact that my shirt tail hung out like that. And what does he do? After telling people, don't you care? He says this, Trinity Broadcasting Network is the greatest delivery system for the gospel in the history of the world. Now, wait a second. When's the last time you heard the gospel on that television station. I hear Oral Roberts, who's now dead, send me your money and God will bless you. I hear everything but the grace of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. And my wife will tell you, I get a great kick. I used to have a little old lady in Alabama that told me when she used to watch that, she used to think, she didn't know those were preachers, she thought they were comedians. Now, I'm not being critical to be critical. I'm just telling you that it's always this way. Paul had his problem with these Jewish evangelists that weren't students of God's word. What were they? They had an agenda. You need to be students of God. The only thing that will protect a church is to be students of God's word. They went around preaching law. Get under law. And Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven should preach to you the Mosaic law as subservient to Jesus Christ, then let them be. As much as the law was holy, just, and good. We've learned in chapter 3 that Christ inaugurated the new covenant. If you said to the average Christian, hello there, how are you? What's the new covenant? They wouldn't even know. Why? Because you're too busy reading books from preachers and not the Word. And that's just it. We have novelty today in the gospel because people no longer teach God's Word. They read theologies, which are opinions of men. The Bible will shed a lot of light and correct theology. Now, I'm going to shock you this morning. Not only are we not under the Mosaic law, but you have to understand one thing. If you want to be justified by the Mosaic law, it's not just the Ten Commandments. Wipe that out of your mind. The Mosaic law was the whole of the legislation. The Ten Commandments, the dietary, the legislative, and the social ceremonial. All of it was a unit. In other words, if you violated the dietary regulations of Moses, you were just as guilty as if you had violated one of the Ten Commandments. A good Jew, I took a precious Jewish kid at the seminary to breakfast. He and I got along. He was in Hollywood before he became a believer. I took him to breakfast. I ordered, didn't think about it. The Gentile ordered a omelet and it had ham in it. He says, what does that taste like, Dave? And I said, what do you mean, John? He says, well, I've never tasted ham as a Jewish guy. I said, would you like some? No. He said, which I kind of laughed because even there after 3 years of seminary, he didn't realize that's Moses' law. Moses is a nice man. God's law is just and holy. You're under God's grace. You have been freed from law, the Mosaic. Anytime the New Testament speaks of law, the vast, vast majority of the times, it's not referring to the Constitution or anybody's law or Roman law. It means the law of Moses. Now, let me shock you this morning about the law. Why did God give the law? It was a tutor to wrap you on the knuckles. We all need a rap every once in a while, don't we? I've heard the old days when you were in school. My teacher in first grade, back when they could get away with it, if I didn't get a good grade, she'd take my head and shake it toward the top of the desk like this, threatening, don't you get another, you know, like that. I'm getting to be an old man. I'm finding out that they can't do that anymore. And I'll tell you something, if they ever do that to my kid in a school, I become Vito Corleone. But at the same time, that's what the law was to do. It was our tutor. The great frustration was, Paul said, no one can keep it. Don't go down that road. 100% keep it. Eat shrimp. You're just as much in trouble as if you had violated the Ten Commandments. What was it designed to do? To teach us, we're schlemiels. We're guilty. Did a good job. How many of you still say, yeah, when I look at the old covenant and all that, I'm guilty, don't you? But Jesus Christ freed us from that. Under the new covenant, when Jesus said, "This is the new covenant, my blood," the Mosaic law came to a crashing end. But it took time for the precious Jewish people to recognize that the Jewish Messiah had inaugurated the grace of God, the unmerited favor of Jesus in the new covenant to reach all people. But the law was that tutor, and the law has a curse in it. We're finding out you do it all, or you're guilty of it all. They stood on those mountains. Remember, we talked about that. Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal. Blessed are you when you do it all, and what happens if you violate one? Cursed! Now that was God's way. It says it was our tutor in chapter 3. Paul has told us it was our tutor, verse 24, to lead us to Christ. Because it was to show us when we stand before God, guess what? We are guilty. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ, through being the one who kept the law perfectly, by being in the seed Christ, guess whose credit we get? The only thing you stand on is the borrowed credit of Jesus Christ. You have no intrinsic good in you. And the law accentuated that intrinsic bad that we have, made us feel guilty. Christ freed us. Now, this is going to get radical this morning because Paul's going to say something in chapter 4. He loved the law. But you know, this is why we go to synagogues. You ever read the story of Paul in Acts? He'd go to a synagogue, proclaim the law of Moses is over. You're under the grace of Christ. You don't have to be circumcised. And here, have a shrimp. Have a lobster. And that ham sandwich is really good when you cook it just the right way. Matter of fact, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, here's a ham sandwich," in Acts 10. Peter said, "Oh Lord, I don't touch that. I don't do that." And what did Jesus have to tell Peter? "Peter, if I've declared it clean, have a ham sandwich. This is gone. And if you want to go down the rule of law, of the Mosaic law, do not treat it, I'll keep this and this, but I don't have to keep this, and I'll take the Ten Commandments, but I don't want the ceremonial. You can't do that under this. It's all or none of the whole package, the whole schmear. But Paul's going to say something in chapter 4 that's really going to grip us. Not only is it said it was our tutor, but now that faith has come, we're not under that law. We are sons of God. How? Not by following Moses, but by faith in Christ. And then he's going to say something to up this ante of the new covenant. "And if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's offspring. And if you don't belong to Christ, you are not Abraham's offspring." So an Egyptian who believes in Jesus has the blessings of Abraham, and not a person of Jewish descent physically who has rejected Messiah. But now he goes on in chapter 4. It's going to get really... No wonder they hit Paul when he started to bring out the full of his gospel that is from God. "Now I say, as long as an heir is a child, he does not differ from a slave. He is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So we, while we were children, were held in bondage." Now listen to me. You know what he's telling you? When you're under the law of Moses, you're a child. That's why we need police in society, because we're immature. If we had a mature society who did everything right according to mature ways of doing things, we wouldn't need to be protected. But we have an immature society, so we need protection. But when Christ came, the Spirit became the power to perfect God's children, and we don't need or live under law. So this is going to shock you. Law is for the immature. Do you like rules and regulations? Do you? You're immature. I was raised on that side. On one side of that. Don't do this, don't do that. You know what that's called? What Paul would say? That is immature. That's acting like a child. Men and women in the new covenant who are mature through the power of the Spirit are under only, you know, under the old covenant, how many laws? 612 or whatever. Who lost? I can't keep 611, let alone 612. Look what we're under one now. Here it is. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says in 19 of chapter 9, I am free from all. I have made myself a slave. And to the Jew I became as a Jew. So what would Paul do when he got with the Jews to win them to Christ? He wouldn't eat a ham sandwich. When he was with the Gentiles, he would, because that wasn't their problem. He says this, to those who are without the law, verse 21, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. Do you know what the law of Christ is? One law. Here's what you do under the new covenant. You ready? What would love do? Paul says that if you want to go back to Mosaic law, you're going back to the elemental things of the world, to immaturity that can never sanctify you or make you pleasing to God. It is only asking this question, Paul said, what would love do? Now going back to Galatians, which you're not going to stay there. The law is the elementary things of the world, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born under the law, in order that He might what? Get us out of what? Redeem means to purchase you out of what? The Mosaic law. You've been freed from the law of Moses. So all those things, you must understand, you're under one law. I think it's so much more simple. What would love do? Would love steal someone else's wife? Would love steal something that doesn't belong to you? Would love mean that you're selfish? We're not without law, but the law is much more simpler. It is, Lord, in this situation where my brother or sister and I are in conflict, what would love do? You know, we're not going to get along all the time, are we? Some of you are Republicans, others of you are Democrats. Some of us aren't neither. Politics, don't talk about religion in politics. Remember that? Well, I got to talk about religion, so politics is always dangerous. I don't care what political party you are. If you're in Christ, guess what? We're brothers and sisters, and I don't care. That's what love would do. We have Lutherans. We have how many different groups? Presbyterians, Lutherans, former Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay. What would love do? We would love one another and seek the unity of the faith in the new covenant. As a matter of fact, Paul says this, those who love law, go to Romans 14. I want to show you something. Those who love law in Romans 14, Paul defines as those who love rules and regulations and laws are weak in the faith. Did you know that? Paul says, now accept the one who is weak in the faith. And the question is, Paul, what do you mean in Romans 14 you're weak in the faith? Well, that means you think you got to live by rules. One man has faith that he may eat all things. I can have that ham sandwich. I can have that glass of wine. I can have that bit of schnapps. I can have that whatever your drink is. But there are other weak people who believe that under the new covenant, I tell you, there are people that when it says God made wine, Jesus made wine in John chapter 2, this guy in Alabama was saying it was grape juice. God wouldn't tempt anybody with alcohol, so it's grape juice, which is absolutely ludicrous. But the people that make up these rules, I know pastors that have been fired because they used wine in cooking. This is nuts. You make those kind of rules. Now, if you're an alcoholic, be very careful here. You never know if you will be, so let's not make our liberty license, but at the same time, don't make up a rule for that. Would it offend you if you saw an elder in your church at a restaurant with a glass of wine? I know it would some people. Depends on. This is crazy. God freed us from these kind of things. Now, don't drink if you... it's shown to be an alcoholic, but at the same time, the Bible doesn't restrict you on these things. You start making up these rules of what you can and cannot have. Jesus said it's not what's on the outside of a man that goes in that defiles him. What defiles the person? So give me someone who will have a glass of wine over someone that will say mean and cruel things to people and cut people with their tongue. And James will tell us in the new covenant, the tongue is a fire set on hell, set from hell itself. But here Paul says the weaker sister or brother has all the rules. The stronger brother has freedom in Christ. Enjoy a ham sandwich. Enjoy a nice movie. I told you what my mom told me. I get in trouble all the time for this, but I'll tell you once again, for those of you who haven't heard it, and I tell the same stories, but preachers are filled with stories. I wanted to go swimming with my uncle on Sunday. That's the Sabbath, I was told. Don't you dare. I said, I'm going to do it anyway. I fell down and hurt myself, and my mom said to me when I got home, I told you you shouldn't go swimming on Sunday. So God punished me for breaking the Sabbath. You're free from those kind of things. This isn't the Sabbath. You want to do the Sabbath? Then get under the law of Moses. Don't cook. By the way, do you know where Boston baked beans came from? Let's ask anybody from Boston. I know somebody is from Boston. The Puritans got under the law of Moses. They believe it could sanctify them. So they said Sunday was the Sabbath. For the Jews, it was Saturday. For us, it'll be Sunday. And guess who can't cook on the Sabbath? Women. So they invented baked beans. You make it on Saturday, and all you have to do is heat it up in the microwave on Sunday. There were no microwaves in those days. And so what did Christians do in the 60s? Why, it's the Sabbath down in Texas. And I'll never forget as a kid, when we lived there for a brief time, you go into the grocery stores and the whole liquor area was closed off. This was blue law. And yet you'd hear in those congregations, the grace of Jesus Christ, the new covenant. They had no idea what they were even talking about in the way they practiced it. Listen to me. You want to go back to the law of Moses? You want to go back to all those rules and regulations? Paul says it was because of the weak elemental things of the world. It's due to immaturity. That you are under God's grace. This is the question you ask in everything we do at this church. What would love do? Now, there are times in which love can't let everything go, can it? If your kid wants to go play on the street in front of busy cars, what would love do? We got to have a talk. But love, P Peter said, and Peter would be really in trouble with a lot of these fundamentalist churches, for even Peter said, love covers a multitude of what? You know why Peter said that? Guess who committed what Jesus considered the greatest offense toward him? Do you know what it was? Denying him before men. And what did Jesus show Peter for the greatest offense? I love it. Jesus was no fundamentalist, law-oriented person. He went to Peter in John and he said to Peter, Peter feeling guilty, goes over to Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, I love you, but not as I should. And that's in the original language. It doesn't come out in the English. Jesus said to him, well, I'm going to have to church discipline you for your denial and kick you out. No, Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And Jesus again says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Well, Lord, I love you, but not as I should. You know what he said? Peter, yeah, I know you failed, but guess what? You're forgiven. Go feed my sheep. What would men do today? You're out of ministry. You know, it's the grace of God even under the Old Testament. What was Moses guilty of? Yet he raised him up to be a leader of his people. What was David guilty of? But David was kept as king. Only people who are weak and immature want all of these rules. You're under one rule, the law of Christ. That is the law of love. What would love do? So we are not without law, but the law is a lot simpler. Judge everything we do at this church by what love would do. So when I offend, you forgive me. And when you offend, let it go. And that's what Jesus wants us to be under the new covenant. Paul says here in chapter 4, in order that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we receive adoptions. You do not receive adoption under law. You receive adoption under the grace of God. And God, because you has sent forth his Spirit, you can cry out here. Look at what he says. Because you're under God's grace through Jesus Christ, you can cry out, Abba, Father. Now listen to me about Abba. That is a term of affection. It's hard for people that haven't had a good relationship with their mom and dad. But many of you have had a loving dad, a loving mom. And this is that term that exudes with love, exudes with the idea of they understand and I can come right up to my dad and have full relationship and love with him. Have you had a dad like that? Some of you haven't. Some of them were hard. So it's harder for you to understand if you haven't had a good dad, a good who was loving and kind. But that's what this term means. Because of Jesus, God's wrath is turned away. You know, we often hear about the wrath of God, but in Jesus, the seed, you do not face God's wrath. You have, because of Jesus, he sees you clothed with Christ's righteousness. Only Jesus kept the Mosaic law, and you get borrowed righteousness. And when you do something you shouldn't have done, I hope you had a dad or a mom where you could go, and you knew they loved you. But this is a term of great affection. A term that bespeaks that my Father understands and will help me. You do not face the wrath of God when you come to Him. There is no potential for stinging rebuke and slapping of knuckles. You come boldly to the throne of grace. He sees you clothed in Christ. And He says, my child, I lavish you with my mercy. I give you my grace. And I understand the weakness of your flesh, and I will help. Remember what Hebrews said? Hebrews 4:16, for a well-timed help. But if you haven't had a dad or a parental relationship, this will be harder for someone to grasp. But through Christ, the seed, God is favorably, always now, to His children, kindly disposed. And because you are children of God, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son within our hearts, and when we do something, this crying, Abba, Father, is part of the Spirit's work, where the Father is interceding, the Spirit is interceding for you, saying, Lord, this is your child. And because of that intercessory ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can cry out, and the Holy Spirit will make sure that it's Abba, Father, Daddy, and never the strictness of the Mosaic law. Therefore, verse 7 says, therefore, you are no longer a slave. You want slavery? Go to Moses. No wonder they stoned him in every synagogue when he ferreted out this. I got a wonderful news for you. Anybody is chosen. You don't have to be Jewish. You're all sons of Abraham only through Christ. Stone him. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir. What are you going to inherit? Everything that is promised to Jesus. His kingdom. The future of full fellowship in the very presence of God is yours as an inheritance through Jesus Christ.